AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. The ceasefire deal to pause the Iran war appears to be in jeopardy. Israel's intensified its attacks on Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, and Iran has again closed the Strait of Hormuz in response. Still, Michelle Price reports Vice President J.D. Vance is set to lead a U.S. delegation to Pakistan for talks with Iran later this week.
It's still unclear what exactly the U.S. agreed to. There are large questions that remain about the free flow of traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, and President Trump's claims that the U.S. will help Iran dig out its buried enriched uranium. There are already concerns on Capitol Hill that the U.S. does get that material out of Iran.
And John Gambrell reports from Dubai on what's being said in Tehran.
Hardline voices within Iran are insisting that they have seized victory in the war with Israel and the United States. And that's in part because they now control the Strait of Hormuz, the narrow mouth of the Persian Gulf, through which about 20% of all natural gas and oil traded passes in peacetime. Now, Iran has been able to charge some vessels reportedly as much as $2 million to leave the Persian Gulf during the war, and they are planning to try to institute a toll booth system that would upend decades of the strait being open for international traffic. They're also insisting that even though Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was killed by Israel at the start of the war, they've now replaced him with a younger, more hardline version in his son, Mojtaba.
After a private meeting with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, President Trump is repeating his complaint about the alliance, saying in an all-caps media post, quote, NATO wasn't there when we needed them. Trump's been angry over the allies ignoring his call to help reopen the Strait of Hormuz. In other news, a federal judge has sentenced Jasveen Sangha to 15 years in prison for selling Friends star Matthew Perry the ketamine that killed him in a 2023 overdose. This is AP News. Jim Whittaker, the first American to summit Mount Everest, has died at 97.
Whittaker and Nawang Gambu reached the top of Everest in 1963, 10 years after the pioneering climb of Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. He told the AP in 2013 it was a humbling experience.
People said, well, you know, how did you feel? And I've said that I'm not sublime, but like a very frail human being. You're just hanging on to life.
The once shy climber became an instant celebrity. Whittaker described coming off Everest and seeing grass peeking through the tundra.
My God, where life is and we're so lucky to be on. We're so lucky to be on that planet.
Jim Whittaker also served as the first full-time employee of outdoor retailer REI and later was its president and CEO. I'm Ed Donahue.
There's more news at APNews.com. I'm Ben Thomas. Thanks for listening.